afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. A Seattle anti-Semite defends himself with anti-Semitic talking points. Okay, that's what's trending.
What's trending? Anti-Semitism.
You know, the media is finally catching up to this show and the reporting that we've done because now they're starting to report on Ian Golash. This is the teacher from Chief Self High School who posted anti-Semitic musings on his Facebook account while providing his students, apparently, because this is what they say, what have amounted to essentially one-sided propaganda sessions against Israel, against the Jews who live in Israel, against the IDF, which defends Israel, where students say they don't even feel comfortable pushing back, saying anything. Now, we reported this earlier in the week. He's been pulled from the classroom. He's on paid administrative leave for the year, told not to talk to students or staff members at SPS. That is according to his father. And then the Seattle Times is all like, I guess we might as well cover this guy that Jason Rance has been talking about for the last several months. I guess it's news, the whole indoctrinating youth with anti-Semitic propaganda that would make Hamas proud. Okay, fine. Twist my arm. I can take his side, though, right? Yeah. Ian Golash apparently agreed to an interview with the Seattle Times. That's what the report says. But then he backed out and instead gave a written statement, or at least some text messages back. I think probably knowing that the Seattle Times would just uncritically publish them and just, you know, move on. Not point out, I don't think this is a reflection of where he actually stands. He said, according to the Times, I think any atrocities that happened on October 7th, including rape, mutilations, or killings of civilians committed by Hamas fighters or Gazans or Israeli citizens or Israeli defense forces are deplorable and worthy of condemnation. I like how he's bringing Israel into this. Yeah, because they were the ones committing rape and murder. Got it. He is obsessed with Israel. That is a sickness. That is a sickness. Calls them Hamas fighters. They're terrorists. Now, I know he doesn't see them as terrorists because, well, he's been defending them this entire time and no one wants to say, well, I defend terrorism. So they just pretend that it's some sort of justified reaction to oppression. He said the atrocities, including rape, mutilation, the killing of people was wrong in that statement, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified?
Yes.
But that's not what he just said in the statement.
Oh.
The statement's a little bit less hateful and disturbing.
The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
You don't think there was any rape?
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
Okay. I mean, there's a UN investigation. There's the victims of rape who were former hostages who have spoken up. I mean, again, let me just go back to his statement. He does say including rape. Well, he must have found a lot of the evidence over the course of the last, what?
He did his research.
Oh, he suddenly did his research. I mean, he didn't do any since October 7th, but in the probably 2 hours that he spent wondering whether or not he should agree to do an interview with the Seattle Times, he did the research and finally came to the right conclusion.
Okay. Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Okay. Was that justified?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say his statement is full of crap. And what he really wrote, I'm guessing, only focused on Israeli citizens and Israeli defense forces. And then someone was like, just put Gazans in there. Don't say Palestinians, though. Say Gazans. And don't call Hamas terrorists. Call them fighters. We got to, because this is not going to play well. You know the Jews who own media. They're going to go all after you.
Hey, man, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
I guess.
It's like the dumbest slogan ever invented. But.
Oh, my God. He added that he has struggled to navigate the information landscape about what happened on October 7th. Yeah, it sounds like a struggle. I mean, was he struggling when he posted and created first that BDS flyer telling students to boycott certain companies that are deemed pro-Israel? You think he'd struggle? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. He hopes to understand clearly what happened and didn't happen. Really? Really? Or are you now in a position where you realize, oh no, I might actually lose my job? That this really did go too far? That all of the feelings of protection from the union, that kind of security that you get, maybe won't apply anymore? Maybe I just went too far. Gosh darn it. Then they say Golash maintained that while, quote, Palestinians were justified in resistance to Israel in support of their liberation from an apartheid state, end quote, that he hoped that the resistance would be peaceful. Okay. I mean, I suppose I haven't personally heard him scream about the Intifada, but I'm a guess that he's a supporter of it. Okay. Thank you for that statement. That was really illuminating on who you are as a person. A total fraud who has views that are so disturbing, you legitimately thought you weren't going to get called out on it. And if I were him, I probably would have held that same exact position too. Because you see, he'd been saying this kind of garbage, this kind of crap for a while. And he's gotten a pass, despite the fact that the school knew about it. I've got the emails. I've got the emails to the principal. I have the principal's email to some other staff members saying, oh, only four parents are complaining. Yeah. You can read them. They're over at ktdh.com. But then, of course, he has to pivot to how he's a victim. Did you know he's a victim in all of this? Oh. Not of a rape or a murder or a mutilation or being held hostage, of course. That only happens to Gazans.
Everyone's a victim nowadays, right?
Uh-huh. He says he denounced, quote, harassment he said he's experienced for the past 4 months, including threatening messages, two bomb threats, and strangers showing up at his home. Huh. That almost sounds like a PDRable claim, the whole bomb threat stuff. Huh. The teacher called the harassment, quote, deeply troubling and antithetical to the kind of spirited debate an examining of different perspectives and dialogue in the interest of deeper understanding that I hope to have in my classroom. Now, I don't think he hopes to have that in the classroom, nor do I think he fosters that. And my proof of that, or at least what has convinced me, was an email from a Jewish student sent directly to Ian Golash just a few weeks ago, complaining that, quote, discussions of topics that do not align with your beliefs are not welcome. Kind of sounds like the exact opposite of what he said he hopes to accomplish. This student said that the, quote, overbearing presence of your own beliefs makes it uncomfortable for students like me to share their own opinions and experiences. Huh. The student told Golash that he should, quote, leave room for students to form and express their own opinions. It's like the opposite of what he just said he does and hopes to do. I mean, he did say he hopes to, right? That's aspirational.
Yeah, so he's on the right track.
Yeah, you know, he's on the wrong track. He's actually going backward, and he's blindfolded. But, you know, still. Huh. You know what was interesting? And we reached out to Seattle Public Schools. I'm not going to hold my breath that they respond to this one. I just caught this, courtesy of a listener or a reader reaching out to me yesterday. Sent me an email, and kudos to that. You can email me, by the way, directly at ktth.com. He said, did you notice the shirt that he's wearing? And I hadn't really thought about the shirt. He was wearing a sweatshirt. I remember saying at the time, he sounds drunk almost. I remember I said something similar, like he...
Or high,
something was off, because he's very, like, laid back in an odd way. And obviously, I'm not making any accusations. I'm sure he was sober. But he came off like something was wrong. And then he said, well, look at that sweatshirt that he was wearing. And I looked at it. I didn't think anything of it. I mean, you saw the sweatshirt. Did you think anything of it?
No.
Right? You're like, okay, it's got some words on it. It says, hustle. What does that say? Hustle Trees. Is that like a band? Because I'm at that age where I just don't know bands anymore. Like, I listen to the Hustle Trees. Don't you have their EP? No, I don't.
I'm not familiar with their work.
No. And so then you Google it. And it turns out it's slang for selling weed. And this shirt, it turns out, is from a company, I think it's LRG, and they have a 420 collection that has a whole bunch of cannabis-inspired clothing. Can you wear that in class?
Maybe in Seattle.
Right? I legitimately have a question. And oddly enough, I'm kind of interested from a First Amendment perspective what the answer is. I don't know the answer to this. Because students can get away with a lot, but not everything, going on to campus. And I'm assuming the same is true for teachers. Now, weed is legal. I don't know if sending a message to underage kids to, you know, hustle trees is the right message. And perhaps not every, maybe most people were like me who have no clue what it is except for the potheads. Which, by the way, sir who emailed me, what were you? How do you
know? Yeah, how does he know?
How'd you figure this out? Maybe he just saw it and then Googled it.
Gotta love Urban Dictionary.
Oh my God. I can't even read what's in the Urban Dictionary to discuss this. Did you see the dialogue that they gave?
No.
Oh, can't say that. So, you know, this is an interesting development in that more people are finding out about it. And I have to assume because he's kind of walking or trying to walk back in his own way while weirdly using anti-Semitic talking points, right? That, oh, it's the Jews that are doing this too. And, you know, I'm the real victim here who's been, you know, forget about those women who were raped. I don't believe it anyway. I had a death threat, maybe, kind of, sort of. I mean, I don't really know, but it probably. Okay, thanks. I'm kidding. I'm sure everything he said there, he means. And I think he sincerely changed his outlook. In fact, if I go to his Facebook page, I'm sure I'll see, oh no, I still see the same post from a few days ago in which you tripled down on literally everything you had said in that interview and then some. Okay.
But seems like an excellent teacher, though.
So, yeah, he's great. He's really challenging in the sense that it's challenging to sit through any one of his classes without wanting to punch yourself in the face multiple times. Meanwhile, you've got Republicans here in Washington State renewing their calls to make it a felony crime to intentionally block freeways like what we saw on Monday going into SeaTac. You know, that airport where there's only one way to drive in, and all of those pro-Palestinian, definitely not anti-Israel and anti-Semitic activists decided to just hang out with the sleeping dragon. Here's State Representative Spencer Hutchins.
Protesters, be aware. We support your First Amendment freedom of speech rights. We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens. We need to put some more teeth in the law to say this behavior, these actions are unlawful. We will make it a felony.
What kind of penalties are we talking about?
We're talking about fines of anywhere from $1,000 to $6,000 or $10,000, depending on whether you are a follower or a leader. Jail time, 60 days, up to 60 days in jail.
I mean, they're all kind of followers, right? I don't think you're allowed to have like a form of governance in any of these groups, right? I think it's just, we'll meet up and figure it all out.
Who's the grand wizard?
Right? There's just none. No one dons. I mean, they're all grand wizards. My God. He was there speaking to Como TV as you heard from a random passerby who certainly seems really supportive of this idea.
It needs to be impactful to prevent it from happening again. If it were a felony, maybe it would make people think twice. It's highly inconvenient every time we have these protests. It's dangerous.
Yeah, they don't care, though, because you see, they believe that they are really responding to a higher being, not God, because they're all godless, but they need, maybe because they're godless, they need to find some more meaning in their lives. And they're sick and tired of their part-time barista job. They're like, oh man, I hate working for the man. Dude, you work 4 hours on a weekend at Starbucks. Relax. You're still living off of your stepdad, okay? Who's still trying to buy your love. Because you never really accepted him, you know, marrying your mom. Oh, and you can just go up to him and say, hey, I just got a $10,000 fine because I was on the freeway. You'll pay for it, right? Right? Kirk? That's his name. Kirk. He's got blonde hair and an uneven goatee.
Why is it uneven?
I don't know. He doesn't know how to do it. What do you want? What do you? I don't have the uneven goatee. Why don't you ask him? Here's a traveler named Adam who sees it a little bit differently. You can tell he's kind of defeated.
Yeah, I see it all the time. But I mean, it's like there's, I mean, everybody keeps getting away with everything.
My free speech rights can't stop you from traveling.
Yeah, he kind of knows what's up. The fact is, despite this being pushed through by Andrew Barkus, state representative from Olympia, friend of the show, or I should not say pushed through, introduced, it was completely ignored. The Democrats completely ignored it. And they're going to completely ignore this moving forward, the same way they've completely ignored everything that's been happening, not condemning any of this stuff. Like 2 days later, you might get a statement from someone. Certainly not Bob Ferguson, by the way.
Do you think if it was pro-lifers blocking freeways, they'd have the same reaction?
If it was pro-lifers blocking the freeway, they would have been flattened.
Probably.
Yeah. If they had MAGA hats on. If they just had a red hat.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a MAGA hat. It was the Cincinnati Reds. This is a fan who's out of town. He got lost and went on the freeway for some reason. Because he's from Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's from Ohio. He probably votes Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Just run him over. You know, and I apologize. Bob Ferguson did put out a statement. It wasn't a very good one, but he did put out a statement. You know, there was a question that I saw after I tweeted a video from Piers Morgan's internet show, whatever it's called. I think it's just called Piers Morgan Tonight or something.
Uncensored, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's not uncensored either, which is just ironic. He doesn't cuss or anything. So were you holding back your opinion?
I'm sure there's some standards and practices he has to abide by.
Yeah. And by the way, you were on in Britain. There are no rules on language like that. In any case, I posted a video of an interview he did with a truly rotten monster, an activist named Nurdin Kizwani. And they were talking about the Death to America chants that happened in Michigan and I'm sure New York and everywhere else. Just like, do you condemn this kind of thing? And when I posted it, a few people responded saying something along the lines of, why are these people being interviewed? Like, why are we giving them a platform? And I think that that's a reasonable question. I think the answer is also reasonable. It's so we highlight people like this exist. So we highlight the fact that this is a guy, or a woman in this case, but these people are out there starting a movement. Some of them are teachers. Some of them are lawyers. Some of them are politicians. They're in positions of power. And I do think it's important to highlight these people so we know what's out there and what is trying to corrupt other people who don't know any better. So let's listen to this.
You know, phrases and actions that have been taken at the protest haven't actually been violent. They haven't harmed anyone. And I don't think we should focus.
What do you think about people chanting death to America, as they did in one video clip?
I think that that's just a phrase maybe said by an individual.
Well, no, the whole crowd.
Remember that whole all lives matter? That wasn't just a phrase, was it? Got a lot of people fired, I think. Okay. Death to America, it's just a phrase. Well, yes, all Heil Hitler was just a phrase. Thank you so much. Thank you for telling us the obvious. What's the message that it sends? Kind of seems pretty clear.
We're just playing around.
You know, who hasn't chanted death to the imperialist war machine fueled by the oil of Palestinian blood? I still like that prose. That was very well done by an adult who gave it to a high school.
Began joining in.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy said it, and then the whole crowd began chanting it. What would you condemn that?
I'm here to talk about the entire
Hang on,
Israeli
you're here to answer my questions, actually. Would you condemn what they were chanting, death to America?
I think we should condemn Palestinians actually being killed.
How about this? You can condemn that in a second. First, do you condemn this one particular statement? And then I'll let you go on and on and on with all your propaganda. Does she think she comes off well here? And by the way, what does she think will happen as a result of condemning death to America? Will she be kicked out of the club? Seriously.
Maybe.
Or actually killed, probably. There might be some of those things.
Okay.
I think that...
That's not the question I'm asking you. So I will ask you about Gaza. But on the question I asked you, would you condemn people in America chanting death to America? What do you say?
I don't condemn how people choose to express their rage verbally. I don't condemn that because at the end of the day, the reason they're saying that is because the U.S. is sending the tax dollars and the weapons that are actually creating
death to Gaza. So do you support them chanting death to America?
I don't chant that myself, so I don't know why you're trying to trap me in this type of...
Imagine thinking this is a trap question. Seriously, imagine thinking this is a trap question. Oh my gosh. Would you like to kill a puppy today? I can't commit. Why are you asking me that? Well, just tell, that's a trick.
It's very nuanced.
What am I tricking you into doing? You'll either want to kill the puppy or not. I don't personally decide what other people want or do not want to do. I'm not going to answer this question.
I'm asking you to condemn it. You don't want to.
So I'm asking,
do you therefore, should I assume you support them chanting?
Those aren't the chants that I would personally do myself.
I just want to pin you on this. You must surely either condemn it or support it.
No, you don't need to.
You're neutral. It's not a binary thing. It's terrifying.
Okay. I seem to remember some people out of anger saying flatten Gaza. And there were immediate calls for everyone to say, oh, you condemn that. See, this is genocide. You better call this out. How dare they use this phrase and terms and words that are consecutive, turning into sentences and stuff? How dare they? But in this case, it's just a sentence. It's a meaningless expression. It's like when you tell your spouse, I love you, when you've been married for 40 years and really you're just settling. And you know that you can't do any better. That's all. This is a death to America. I love you. Same thing. Oh, my God. Don't call me. I'll call you. I promise. It's a statement. I'm busy. I'm washing my hair. Oh, God. Yep. It's not going to end. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, become a podcast subscriber. You can get it on the KTTH smartphone app or wherever it is you get your podcasts. It's the Jason Rant Show.
Tomorrow on the Brian Suit Show, we keep waiting for Israel to strike back at Iran. Maybe they're already doing it. I'll tell you how tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
And you keep on bringing us these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Well, there's an article in the Washington Post that is really, really critical of Senator Maria Cantwell, who first ran for the Senate championing a very simple cause, internet privacy. She was all about it. And yet, pretty much nothing has been done. In fact, according to the Washington Post, and they're citing a number of staff members on the Hill, they say it was Cantwell herself who was the primary reason for the slowdown. They write, Cantwell has repeatedly upended privacy negotiations. In 2019, she broke up a working group trying to hash out a compromise. In 2022, she rebuffed a landmark agreement from three key lawmakers, a first-of-its-kind bipartisan deal. Again and again, aides said, she was thwarted. She has thwarted promising talks by refusing to iron out key disputes, speaking out publicly against colleagues' efforts, and not empowering her staff to fully negotiate. So what in the world is going on here? Because all of a sudden she says she's now working with a Republican, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, to introduce some new legislation. Joining me on the line to discuss is her opponent in the Senate race here in Washington State, the Republican, Dr. Raul Garcia. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me today.
What do you make of this report? I mean, this is a damning report.
Well, it just shows exactly what we knew about Maria. And about politicians that sit there for 24 years, Jason, they keep an ear to their own echo chamber and they lose touch with reality. And they think that every 6 years they could come and lie to the people or try to sneak one by them and say, no, I've been supportive of this all along. And the Washington Post, who usually is a newspaper that, in my mind, favors the Democrats, called her on it and said, no. That is not what you've been doing for 20 years. And this is election season. So she's coming around as she does every 6 years. And she sits on her mountaintop for the other five from Washington, D.C., looking at our state from afar. And that is not the kind of government that I think that people want anymore. I think people want a government of solutions. And if you say you're going to do something, well, do it.
What should be done in the world of internet privacy? What rights should companies have to be able to operate a business and, you know, get enough information so they know how to target consumers versus the consumer rights to not just have all of our information given up?
Yeah, I think that is a fine balance, right? You do want individual freedoms, and we as a government need to protect individual freedoms. There's also the question of free enterprise, and individual freedoms don't come only for us as individuals, but we do need to protect our small businesses so they are able to succeed. I believe that we should have privacy, but there is a fine balance on the things that could be abused, right? So all this time, we have tried to push forward legislation that is bipartisan, by the way, to bring privacy to our lives and even to our small businesses. And our sitting senator has stalled them. Yeah. For her to come out now and say, well, let's champion this. Well, what happened to the last 6, 12, 18, 24 years, Maria? And this is where I believe that the people of Washington are going to see the reality of what we have, which is a one-party system, which listen to their own echo chamber, who has lost touch with the families of Washington. And we're going to elect a government that could bring true solutions. If we sit here and say, let's find a balance between the privacy of our independent freedoms or the success of our small businesses, let's find that balance. Let's bring about a solution and get privacy in there that is considerate of our own lives, not to be out on the internet, and for our small businesses to still have a right and free enterprise and be able to succeed.
As part of this deal that she's apparently involved in, and again, we'll see if it actually gets support or if she'll wait until after election, hoping that she wins re-election and then just kill it like she's done in the past. One of the things it does is allow individuals who have their privacy rights violated by what they're just calling bad actors. So companies that are not making mistakes in any of the data that's being stored or requested, I suppose, but actively choosing to violate one's privacy rights. Is that something that you would support? Because in the past, it seemed like Cantwell was the one who said no.
Yeah, no, I would certainly support that. And look, I applaud Kathy McMorris Rogers for coming out and being a leader on this. But people should be upset. People should say to politicians, enough. Don't you come out and try to sneak one by me. You've been sitting here saying one thing for 20 years, and now you're coming in to save the day. Mm-hmm. That is not what we want as leaders. We want transparency. We want leaders that could actually do what they say they're going to do and represent our lives to make it better, not pick and choose. And then in election season, you come out and say, oh, I've always been a champion of it. And I am very glad that the Washington Post called her on it. And it's a sign that things are changing. Even the Washington Post is like, wait a minute, man. You know, we can't have this anymore. So when the Washington Post is saying that it should have upset our families, it should upset our people in Washington and say, you know what, we need change. We need fresh leadership. I am all for term limits, and we have a great opportunity to term limit Maria Cantwell this November.
What's really curious, and we're talking with Dr. Raul Garcia, he's running for Senate as a Republican candidate against Maria Cantwell. I'm looking at her finances, her campaign finances, and she's got a lot of, you know, big name tech companies in the top 20. You got Microsoft delivers a whole lot of money to her. Amazon does as well. Meta has been giving her a lot of money. Now, obviously, if you come from Washington State, you're going to expect some dollars flowing in from big, influential tech companies. But at the same time, I mean, particularly when it comes to Meta and privacy, there have been ongoing conversations about that for years. And it certainly seems like any kind of delay in some of the legislation would benefit them.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I see the conflict of interest clearly, and I hope that everybody else does as well. Look, as your next United States Senator of the state of Washington, of course I am going to make sure that our people don't get the short end of the stick. And I'm a champion of small business, and we also have to understand that we have top Fortune 10 companies in Washington State that help our economy. And of course, we're going to help them along, but not to the demise of the citizens of our state, right? Let's find a balance and let's all succeed together. And I think that there is a way to do that without putting one against the other. Let's be pro-growth completely. And if we are a pro-growth government, you'll see Washington succeed.
Well, in the context
and
of tech,
back.
Yeah, but in the context of tech, I'm curious what that means to be pro-growth, because it's almost a nebulous statement when it comes to technological companies.
Well, to be pro-growth is to certainly do those things that will benefit our state. Now, what you're getting at is, are we going to support a tech company and they are going to be able to violate our privacy? Mm-hmm. No, I will not support that, right? I am always going to be on the side of the citizens and the privacy of our citizens. I think that every day we lose more and more privacy, and every day our government gets bigger and bigger and tries to take from us. It reminds me a lot of where I came from. You know, a lot of people out there know that I was born in Cuba, and the government basically came in and said, everything is ours.
Yep.
And your information is ours, and what you think is ours, and what you basically, they wanted to dictate what we did every day, and they did. They controlled the media, they controlled the education, they controlled the companies, they federalized every single company. Coca-Cola had to leave Cuba, many others had to leave Cuba because of that. And this is a little example of it. We cannot let the big companies succeed on the backs of the privacy of people. No, we can't do that. Can we find a balance? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where I mean, let's all grow together, but let's respect the small guy. Let's just respect the citizens' privacy.
Well, then last question on, you know, that balance. At the same time, we're both acknowledging and have the same concerns for government overreach. And we're also saying that we want them more involved on the privacy side of things. So how do we know that the government isn't going too far when dealing with tech companies and the privacy responsibilities that we all believe they should have? There's a little bit of a conflict there, isn't there?
There is. You're the best for bringing it up, because certainly it's a fine line, right? And what I would do in my mind right off the cuff is to have a third-party company make sure that they oversee those things. So not directly the government, but have a third-party company make sure that we oversee those things so companies don't step over the line. Now, your next question shall be, wait a minute, you're making now bureaucracy bigger. It's a fine line, Jason. It is. And I think that we need to, at the very least, sit at the table and bring different ideologies to the table and see what the solution is and come out with a solution that has the importance of the privacy of our private citizens very much in mind. And once we do that, then carry it out with the leanest government possible.
There you go. Dr. Raul Garcia is running for Senate. His website is garcia4wa.com. It's all spelled out, Garcia, F-O-R-W-A.com. Thank you so much for stopping by, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. And to all the listeners out there, let's go win an election.
Let's go win an election, indeed. Again, it's garcia4wa.com. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into some quick hits.
The Jason.
Bringing our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rantz. Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rantz is in focus now.
Jason Rantz, thank you for your reporting on that.
The quick hit.
I can't say that I am. What would be the word here? I'm not flummoxed. I'm not bewildered. I'm not shocked. I'm not even angry that when Alejandro Mayorkas, fresh off of his Democrat-secured win against impeachment, when he comes out and pretends that there's no issue at the border and that this administration holds no responsibility whatsoever when people come into this country illegally through a purposefully porous border and then end up committing serious crimes or any kind of crime, really, but especially egregious crimes like murder. For example, Laken Riley, of course, was allegedly murdered by someone in this country illegally. And he was someone who was caught, but then ultimately released. Why did that happen? Who's responsible? Can someone please answer that question? Why was Jose Ibarra paroled instead of being detained? And so today, in front of a Senate committee hearing, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky really just grilled Secretary Mayorkas about the death of Laken Riley.
But I can't help but be sad for Laken Riley and her family who didn't have to have this. And he wasn't paroled for any of those reasons. And we're going to get into that in the question and answer. You've either said you don't have the knowledge, you've been asked about this multiple times, but we're going to ask again, how did the murder of Laken Riley get into this country? And what is the statute that allowed you to do it? How could you? And how could you sleep at night, you know, having done that?
And I think that that is a valid question. It's almost a cheap question when you say, how can you sleep at night? But at the end of the day, there's a lot of truth to the motivations behind a question like that, that you should feel bad about what you are responsible for. And Mayorkas is not responsible for a murder, but he's responsible for someone in this country illegally who then committed a murder because there are choices that are being made that allow people to come into this country illegally and then ultimately just be released. Those are political decisions that are made. It's one thing to say that you have properly secured the border to truly to the best of your ability, and then someone still is able to sneak in. That happens. And we shouldn't hold these folks accountable for something that they, in good faith, tried to prevent and did, you know, level of incompetence. But that's not the case here. That's not the case at all. These are choices.
So for what reason was the alleged killer of Laken Riley, Jose Ibarra, paroled and allowed to come into this country?
Ranking Member Paul, first and foremost, all our hearts break for the family of Ms. Riley.
I bet.
Secondly,
it took
the
you so long
perpetrator
to name
of this heinous criminal act needs to meet justice to the fullest extent of the law.
Just filibustering.
And I will not comment on the particulars of the case because the matter is being prosecuted by authorities now.
So. This isn't on the case of whether or not he murdered her. This is on the case of why you paroled him. Why was he paroled?
My same answer, Ranking Member Paul.
You're refusing to answer the question?
I have provided my answer, Ranking Member Paul.
Wow. I mean, it gets to the point where it doesn't get contentious in the traditional sense, but you can tell that Rand Paul is losing patience.
You're refusing to give any specifics about Jose Ibarra. Well, I have the documentation. And the document says that the person accused of killing Laken Riley was paroled due to detention capacity. It was full. So is detention capacity statutorily allowed to be used as a reasoning for parole?
Allow me to assure you that individuals who pose a public safety threat or national security are our highest priority for detention. The reality, not just with respect to this administration, but every administration that precedes me, is that the number of encounters has exceeded the number of detention beds available.
Yeah, why are there so few detention beds available? Oh, because we have a porous border?
The question is it statutorily,
simple question,
legally allowed to use the excuse that our camp is full? He was paroled due to detention capacity. Is that allowed under the law?
Ranking Member Paul, my prior answer stands.
You didn't answer.
Which means you're not going to answer the question. Are you pleading the Fifth Amendment?
No, Ranking Member Paul, I've answered the question.
You haven't.
No, you haven't. The question is very specific.
And he never does answer the question. And he gets away with it under Democrat control. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And the problem is, of course, outside of conservative media, no one will see this on the news. Now, the good news is you can see this on social media. That's, in fact, how I first heard about it. It's since I've seen it on Fox News. But the first time I even heard about this clip was on my X account. One of the clips came across my wall. So people will eventually see this, but not enough are going to see this. Not the people who need to see this, which are folks who are truly on the fence about what's going on and who's to blame. I mean, the fact of the matter is this, and I keep saying for the fact of the matter or at the end of the day, I have to come up with a different, you know, term. How about in conclusion? No, this is very clearly a political story more so even than it is about public safety. I've been talking about it for a while like that. I've been talking about crime in a lot of ways as a political problem rather than a crime problem or a public safety problem. Because if you're seeing all of this happen as a direct result of policy and either overturning the policy, rescinding it, replacing it, whatever it is you want to, what term you want to use to get rid of it, that is political. It's political if you get rid of those policies and then we don't have to deal with the consequences of said policy. And in this case, you've got a bunch of policies that were removed that were helping to keep our border secure. And they will not go back to those policies. That's a political decision.
All of the laws that existed under the Trump administration still exist under the Biden administration. You have all the powers that you need. The laws on accepting migrants to this country says the executive may admit migrants. Doesn't say the executive branch shall admit migrants. You could simply say we're full up, we've got too many criminals, and we've got the horrendous thing that happened to Lake and Riley and to others. And we're just full, and we're going to stop taking migrants for a while until we can sort out the mess we have at the border. You have every power to do that now. You just don't utilize those powers. But it isn't about really being good at utilizing the power. We just think you're not obeying the law.
Yeah. It's almost like it really is that simple. Seriously, it really is that simple. The same power or authority that they use to get rid of the Stay in Mexico policy, for example, and just simply saying, we have a closed border because we don't have any more room. We don't have any more beds. The same policy that existed that they removed, the same power behind that policy still exists. They can just re-implement it today. Joe Biden could this very moment make that announcement, chooses not to. Why is that? Because they want a porous border and they don't seem to care about the consequences. Meanwhile, you've got Mayorkas still pretending that we're dealing with this extreme weather crisis that is really, I guess, taking up all of his attention. He can't really be focused completely on the border when global climate change is this existential threat.
Finally, extreme weather continues to devastate communities. Last year, FEMA responded to more than 100 disasters. Our budget provides $22.7 billion to assist community leaders and help survivors in the aftermath of major disasters, and additional funds to invest in resilience strategies that will save lives and taxpayer money in the decades to come. Essential to our success across all mission sets is our department's ability to recruit and retain a world-class workforce. In addition to the frontline border workforce I mentioned, the president's budget includes $1.5 billion to maintain our commitment to fairly compensate the TSA workforce.
Okay. Really focused on what matters, I guess. Really, really focused. Kudos to you, Alejandro Mayorkas. You are indeed a hero. And what would we do without your hard work? He's doing yeoman's work right now. And that's why we have the results that we have, which is not a compliment. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. I'll be on Fox News tomorrow morning. I've been forgetting to plug my appearances. That's my bad. But I'll be on tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. Usually I'm on around 8:45 when it's with Harris Faulkner talking about the news of the day. So I hope you'll be able to catch me. And of course, be sure to subscribe to the KTTH Jason Rant Show podcast, available wherever it is you get your podcasts. Just go to ktth.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. We're there. It's the Jason Rand Show.